Let us turn tonight to Jeremiah chapter 15. When we think of men like Jeremiah, we consider the time in which they ministered for the Lord to the people of God. He ministered at a time of sorrow in Judea, in Judah, for he couldn't minister good to the people, for God only promised judgment. The people were resting in the fact that they dwelled in Jerusalem, and this was a holy city. God would never permit Jerusalem to be judged. The house of God was in Jerusalem, and he certainly wouldn't destroy the house of God. And therefore, no matter what the other prophets had said, Jeremiah was there living amongst the people, declaring the testimony of God, and Jeremiah wasn't wanted. And Jeremiah, in the passage before us, he suffers spiritual breakdown. And what I want to discuss from this passage tonight is spiritual breakdown and recovery. It is possible for us, who are the Lord's people, to break spiritually. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. However, God desires when we fall, when we break, he wants to restore us. And to Jeremiah, he lays down not only the facts of his fall, but also the means of restoration. Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 15. O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me, and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord, God of hosts. I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuseth to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar and as waters that fail? That's a tremendous accusation for a man to make of God, isn't it? Jeremiah the prophet accusing God of being a liar and accusing him as being a mirage of the desert. That's a big statement. So God speaks to Jeremiah in verse 19, and he says, therefore, thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. And I will make thee unto this people a fenced brazen wall. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee to save thee, and to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Now, verses 15 through 21 of this chapter present a case study in spiritual breakdown and recovery. Now, chapters 14 and 15 of Jeremiah, they form a unit, and it's a dialogue between Jeremiah and Jehovah. Now, there's an occasion for this. There's a reason for it. In chapter 14 and verse 2, if you examine it, there's a severe drought in the land. There's a famine in the land. And Jeremiah had been ministering for the Lord since his youth and for a good period of years. He had been called as a young man. And he had continually cried to God to intervene on behalf of these sinful. And all he was promised was judgment only. That's all he was promised. And he was even commanded not to pray on behalf of these people. He was told not to take himself a wife. He says, because these people are going into captivity. Anything that the normal person would desire, Jeremiah didn't have it. And I want you to picture the prophet. The book of Lamentations gives us an insight into the prophet's care for the nation of Judah at this time. He was burdened because of the sin of the people and what a burden he carried. But then at the same time, he was distraught over the verdict of God of only judgment. And then he was grief-stricken because of the doom that awaited these people. These people were trusting that nothing would ever happen to Jerusalem, nothing would ever happen to the temple, and God had said it would. And Jeremiah knew that God kept his word. And in the midst of the trouble, Jeremiah himself was being persecuted by the people. You see, under this stress and under this strain, Jeremiah breaks. And in a moment of failure, he charges God with deception. You ever have hard thoughts about God? You entertain thoughts, God doesn't care. God knows about me, but he could do something about me, but he just doesn't. And I wish he would. And this was Jeremiah's condition. You see, he declared that God had failed him in the hour of deepest need. Now, you and I have that great verse in 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, in that he will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with a temptation provide a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And Jeremiah, as he falls here in spiritual breakdown, he saw no way of escape. Many times believers get into this condition. You see, Jeremiah had been traveling in the orbit of God's will. But now he deviates from the path. Just like Pilgrim's Progress, when he went into Bypass Meadow, he thought there was a shortcut to the celestial city. And the troubles he got into when he went into Bypass Meadow. And how often we as Christians, we deviate from the path into Bypass Meadow. But now I want you to notice a few things. First, the pressure to which Jeremiah succumbed. First, there was unceasing opposition. He says that in verse 15. He says, revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Everyone's hand was against the prophet. The men of Anathoth did not enjoy Jeremiah's ministry. Anathoth was a place to which Solomon had banished the priests who had were the descendants of the one son of Aaron when he came to reign, because some of them were unfaithful to David his father. And he banished them to Anathoth. And here, one of those priests, God raises up to be a prophet. His name is Jeremiah, and even the other inhabitants of Anathoth were opposed and against Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah's rejection by the people. A person can only stand so much rejection. And Jeremiah's rejection by the people weighed heavily upon him. And this is where most fail and accuse God of not keeping his promise. Unceasing opposition. Opposition to the work of the Lord. And beloved, while we don't have outward opposition to the work of the Lord, there is a lackadaisical attitude today abroad among the people of God toward the work of the Lord. Do we have a real burden to see sinners saved? Do we have a real burden to get on with the business of living for God and for living for God alone? But there's a second reason in Jeremiah's breakdown. Not only was there unceasing opposition, there was unrelieved isolation. In verses 15 to 18, he said, I sat alone. And that's in verse 17. He said, I sat not in the assembly of the mockers. In other words, he practiced the first psalm. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. He practiced the first psalm. But on the other hand, he had to say, I sat alone because of thy hand. Beloved, when we're alone, we need the fellowship of the brethren. We need the fellowship of others in the family of God. We cannot isolate ourselves. There are few men who isolated themselves and carried on a true ministry for God. Few men. You see, now, it's easy to get the Elijah syndrome, to fall into it. Elijah, God had reminded him that there were others in Israel before he told him that he had 7,000 that had not bowed the knee to Baal. But before that, he met Obadiah. And he knew that Obadiah had spared 50 prophets and had fed them with bread and water from the table of Jezebel. He had hidden them in a cave. So he knew there were others. But Elijah got to the place that he thought he was the only one left that's true to God. You see, it's easy to imagine that we're the only one. And this is the place that Jeremiah was. Unrelieved isolation. Now, beloved, we need to be fortified by the fellowship of the brethren. We need one another. We need the fellowship that comes from others. But then there's a third reason for pressure upon him. There was unanswered prayer. Jeremiah had been to God to intervene in the affairs of the nation. And you have that in verse 18. He says, why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable? And when you read the book of Lamentations, the wound that he had was the judgment of God upon a city that wouldn't heed the message of God that was spoken through his mouth. So Jeremiah had been before God, and God only gave him a message of judgment. Do we know what it means to wait upon God faithfully? Without crying out against God? Without becoming bitter toward God? But simply waiting upon God? You see, it's easy to sit in a comfortable building and look at Jeremiah, but we don't realize the circumstances that Jeremiah was in. He's a man with a message, and no one wanted to listen to his message. You see, spiritual breakdown is often at the end of the road of impatience and faithlessness. When we don't believe God, and when we become impatient toward God. You see, we know that the theology of the television preachers is wrong, as our brother John Wiesner so aptly pointed out in the morning session. This business of name it and claim it, as though we can tell God what to do. There's a lot of foolish notions abroad in our day. And I'm afraid, beloved, that our generation is headed for judgment. And beloved, we can listen to certain people, and every time you see them, they're riding high on the crest of the wave. You see, and you realize that they have nothing when the storm really breaks that's going to sustain them. They can be tossed about as we read in Ephesians 4, tossed about to and fro with every wind of doctrine. by the sight of men. Unanswered prayer. God does not always answer our prayers immediately. But then that can lead to undisciplined thinking. And in verse 18, you have it. He says in the end of that verse, "Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar and as waters that fail?" And you see, a lot of people get here, especially the name it and claim it group, when they've named it often and they couldn't claim it. And then God's a liar. But God isn't a liar. You see, Jeremiah accuses God here of having failed him in his hour of deepest need. He charges God with being a liar and a mirage of the desert. Now, this is a man who just breathed verse 16. "Thy words were found and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord of hosts." How easy it is to fall. Oh, to have our thoughts disciplined in relation to God. And beloved, unless we're settled on Bible doctrine, and one of the things that bothers me today, as I move around and listen, people do not want to study Bible doctrine. They'd much rather sit around in a class and everybody share their ignorance, rather than listen to what the Word of God says. And beloved, if we're going to prosper spiritually, someone is going to have to teach Bible doctrine. And we're going to have to learn Bible doctrine. And we're going to have to learn the doctrines of salvation in order that under our feet we have a solid foundation. And we're going to have to know the difference between justification and sanctification. We're going to have to know the difference between redemption and reconciliation. For there is a difference. It's all part of God's great salvation. But beloved, when the storm breaks and we have no foundation under our feet, we can drift. We need disciplined thinking. We need to sit down and contemplate what the Word of God reveals concerning God. Who He is, His holiness, His righteousness, His immutability. And after we've spent time in His holiness and in the fact of who He is, the sovereign Lord of heaven and earth, then we're ready to listen to His love. Beloved, God is God. And we must get down to Bible doctrine. Now, I was very discouraged to hear of an assembly last night where there's a group of about 12. They wanted to just get together and share their ignorance, and they wanted to separate themselves from everybody else. You see, no genuine teaching. You know, it's good if men are studying. Then they have something to give. But unless someone is there who knows where you want to go and where you're going to go, you can be in real trouble. Well, they left. They left the assembly. That's sad. That's sad. Beloved, we need the fellowship of each other, but we need Bible doctrine. Now, we have the pressure which Jeremiah, to which he succumbed. Let us consider the possibility with which Jeremiah was faced. You see, God wants to restore His people. When they break, He wants to restore. But God doesn't restore our way. He restores His way. And all that is involved in restoration is genuine repentance. genuine repentance. Now, God is always willing to meet with his people who have suffered defeat. So if we have hard thoughts about God, and if you're entertaining an unbelieving attitude toward God, take courage, for he has something to say, verse 19. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. Here we have his repentance. God calls Jeremiah, you have to repent of your hard thoughts about me if you return. You see, Jeremiah had turned his back on God when he made those statements concerning God. Now God is pleading with him for his return. Beloved, there can be no restoration to God's service without complying with God's condition of repentance. Never can it be done. God does not use messengers who are not entirely sympathetic with him or who are out of harmony with his purposes. He says to Jeremiah in this passage, notice first, if thou return, and then he says, if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Then thou shalt be as my mouth. You see, the figure is one of the smelter who puts the iron ore in the crucible, or who puts the gold in the crucible, or the silver. You see, what he's saying, Jeremiah, you have to purify your thoughts about me. And I like what A.W. Tozer says in his book, The Knowledge of the Holy. It's in the beginning of the book. He says, no person ever rises above their thoughts of God. You don't rise morally above the thoughts that you entertain about God. And if the God that you worship is a wishy-washy God that's presented today, you have very low thoughts about God. Very low. And oh, to have high thoughts about God, who he is, the holiness of God, the immutability of God, the omniscience of God, the fact that God knows all about me, the omnipotence of God, the fact that nothing is too hard for him and nothing can ever escape his power. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning. No person ever rises higher than their thoughts about God. What kind of thoughts did you entertain concerning God today? Did you think about him? It doesn't matter who we are. You see, the figure here is one of the smelter. He says, if you take the precious from the vial. In other words, you're going to have to do some separating in your thought life, is what he's really saying to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, on the one hand, you can speak very precious things about me. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. On the other hand, you're thinking hard thoughts of me. You've accused me of being a liar. You see, before there's ever restoration, there must be a purifying process. A purifying process. Now, Jeremiah is warned of a peril in verse 19. He says to him in this passage, he says, let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. He's speaking of the people round about him. In other words, what he's saying is, Jeremiah, your thoughts about me and your outburst have identified you with the people. You're no longer my mouthpiece. You are with the people instead of with me. If you want to be my mouth, you have to take a stand with me. You see, the same is true of Peter. The Lord said to Peter in Luke 22, Simon, son of Jonas, Satan hath desired to have you, that he might sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you. And basically, this is what God is doing with Jeremiah. He's pleading with Jeremiah. This is what is necessary. You see, Peter boasted, if everybody else is offended because of you, Lord, you can count on me. The Lord said, you're the very one that Peter, you're the very one that Satan wants. Well, Peter said, Lord, you're wrong, because I'd never do it. You'd never think Jeremiah would after reading verse 16. See, saved people are still people. And saved people fall. You see, God never allows his people to side with unbelievers in their sin. You may, but you're going to pay the price. And God tells Jeremiah to go to the smelter and take a look at what's going on. Refine your thoughts and come out. Come out clean. Take a stand with me. Now, God gave a promise to Jeremiah. We have, first of all, God's power to make. He says, I will make thee, in verse 20. I will make thee unto this people a fenced brazen wall. He says, you don't need to be afraid of these people. I'll make you a fenced brazen wall. You see, God had not changed his mind in verse 18. You see, verse 18, Jeremiah says, why is my pain perpetual? He's pleading with God to change his mind, but God doesn't change. God doesn't change. God is immutable. Now, it may appear at times that God changes, but what God is doing, he's working in his servant. He is preparing him for greater ministry later. But in order that that ministry is effective, Jeremiah has to know something of repentance. Now, through a lack of faith, Jeremiah allowed the wall to be broken down. How often this happens? Remember what we read in the Song of Solomon? No, it's in the Proverbs, excuse me. In Proverbs it says, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of diligence. Low nettles covered the face of the ground, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. In other words, the man who was void of understanding, void of diligence, the stone wall was broken down. And the stone wall speaks of separation. That which separates the child of God from the world. Nehemiah, he built the wall. He was commissioned to build the walls of Jerusalem. Why? Because Jerusalem was to be separated and the people within were separated from the enemy on the outside. Separation. Separation is taught in the Word of God. We are a people for and unto the Lord. You see, now God gives Jeremiah another opportunity to stand in the evil day. He says to him, and I will make thee unto this people a fenced brazen wall, and they shall fight against thee. They're not going to stop, Jeremiah. They're not going to stop. The world is not going to relent. The flesh is not going to relent. And the devil is not going to relent. But we can be victorious, for the victory is ours. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now then, he's going to give him the opportunity to stand. So we not only have God's power to make, but we have God's presence to support. In verse 20, he says, and I'm with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord. I am with thee, in verse 20. And in verse 21, we have God's power to deliver. And with this we can say Jeremiah's fears were relieved. He is assured of God's complete deliverance. In spite of his breakdown, in spite of the fact that he accused God of being unfaithful to him, in an hour of weakness, Jeremiah was restored by God. In the restoration process, God told Jeremiah he had to take forth the precious from the vile. You must make discriminating judgments concerning that which is genuinely for God and that which is not. Spiritual breakdown and recovery. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin. Confession of sin may be just words to a lot of people. But that word, confess, means to say the same thing God says about it. And to say the same thing God says about it means that we're willing to deal with it. And in dealing with it, to judge it. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. If we take forth the precious from the vile, if we recognize the calling wherewith we are called, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, walk worthy, as we read in Ephesians 4, of the vocation wherewith ye are called, in lowliness of mind, walk, take forth the precious from the vile. Christians fall. But Christians can be restored. Our God is in the restoring business. The psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. Have you ever had your soul restored? Every Christian, if they've lived more than 6 months, had to have it. And if you're like me, you've had to have it often. But beloved, we need to recognize there is a way back. And we cannot lose heart. We got to get on with a joy of living for God under the adverse circumstances of a world that is ripe for judgment. How do we do it? I think Habakkuk had the answer. In Habakkuk chapter 1, God told him he's going to judge. And what did he do? He went to his watchtower and he prayed. He waited to hear what the Lord would say to His servant. This is what we need to do too. So let's pray. Loving Father, we thank You that while we have many times strayed, many times we've harbored hard thoughts about You, oh, deliver us from it. Help us, oh God, to learn Bible doctrine, to learn the truths concerning who Thou art and what You have done in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, and how the Bible doctrines fit together harmoniously because it comes from one who is a wise master builder. Grant our God that in an evil day we'll be able to stand, and having done all to stand, deliver us, our God, from being useless, but rather may we be useful mouthpieces for Thee, proclaiming Thy message, because we are in fellowship with Thee. We ask this, giving thanks, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.